who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, May the 24th, 1998. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Coffey is the teacher of the afternoon.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I want to hear something. When I say praise the Lord, when I go places, the minister, they come back at me. They preach to me too, you know. And if you don't preach to me, I get kind of lonesome up here. And I'm not able to minister back to you the way that God wants me to if you're sitting out there with a long face. Cho says he preaches like this because everybody had a long face. So he preaches to the back wall. And rather than look at the congregation, he'd preach to the back wall. We don't want to do that. I want to see a smile today. Praise the Lord. Can you stand another deliverance message? What is this camp?
Deliverance.
The camp is a deliverance camp. What you have seen so far this week is an answer to prayer. It has been bound for days that everybody would come into this camp speaking the same thing. More than one of us have been praising the Lord and praying to Him that we would come together in one accord, speaking the same thing this time. So, we're just seeing the answer to prayer today. And I'm so glad. I'm glad God still answers prayer. Aren't you glad God still answers prayer?
Amen.
You want deliverance today?
Amen. Yeah, I'm on the front row.
Look, I got one on the front row here wanting deliverance. We did that. Oh, got another one in front of us. We did that originally in our church, you see, at the end of the service. We'd say, anybody that wants deliverance, come down and sit on the front row. And sometimes we'd get 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10. And then we'd pair off and minister to them. One-on-one or two-on-one. And God moved mightily. And your reason for getting deliverance today is not what you think. I don't believe. I don't believe it has anything to do with what you're planning on. We are ministering the kingdom of God, the Most High God in this earth, the one who loves you with an undying love, who moved heaven and earth and gave His Son and His life that you might have fellowship with my God. And then we turned around and had fellowship with the wrong one. And now we've got to get rid of it. So that we can have true fellowship with our God. And that's our purpose today, is to have fellowship with God. And I found that in most cases when we come to minister deliverance or go anywhere to minister, people come in and they say, I want you to set me free from, and they name it. Well, what are you doing about it? It's not up to me. I don't set people free. I just call demons. I call them. I name them. God does the work, and God has to have a vessel that He can hear and minister to and move through before He can hear your cry to be set free. And we have disregarded this over such a long time. Some of us have, not all of us. I'm not speaking to everyone, but new ones in the ministry have not fully recognized what deliverance is about. So I want to go through some familiar scriptures. There's nothing new. Did you know there's nothing new in deliverance? Everything Jesus did and said, it's already been done and said. Now all we can do is repeat it and hopefully create in you a desire to open this up so you will dig in and see if I'm telling the truth up here. I want you to check and I want you to write down these scriptures today. If you've got a pencil and paper, write them down and I want you to look at them. Not just write them, but I want you to study them. Because they are, it's not that they are mighty revelation, and yet they are mighty revelation. Because the power of God is in His Word. So, therefore, we're going to look at some scripture today. Now, Glenn didn't introduce me today. He named me, but he didn't introduce me. And that's all right, because all you need to know about me is I'm a believer.
Amen.
That's all you need to know. So, name and where I come from and all of this is immaterial, as long as I am a believer in the Most High God and in His Word, and I stand on His Word, and I minister that Word to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I praise you and I thank you. I thank you.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Brother, I didn't mean to get you in fear when I prayed back there a little earlier. And I want you to know that God is doing a mighty work in your family. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And there's no fear. There is no fear in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that God has taken care of it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Turn with me to Matthew to the 13th chapter. We're going to the very back end of the book of Matthew.
Hallelujah.
Verse 58 said, "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." We were ministering to a person one time, and we had quite a bit of manifestation. Finally, another one came up, and we were worried with it a little bit and commanded to go. Come back and do it. Finally, I said, "What's your name? Command you, tell me your name." He said, "I'm unbelief. I kill the Christians. I kill the Christians." You get your theology off from demons? No. But when I see the Word of God operating through what they are doing, I know that the Word of God is working. And I see people falling away because of demonic power. And that's the main reason why we need to be set free from all of Satan's power. Now, we call ourselves Christian. We name ourselves after Christ, the Anointed One.
Yes.
Are you anointed? Hmm?
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah, yes. We've got some anointed people here. The Word says it. And are you walking under grace? I hear this. I want to clear up something here. Are you walking under grace? How many people are walking under grace today? I want to see hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to Romans 1. Paul giving his salutation to the Roman church. And verse 5 says, "By whom we have received grace." We receive grace. And apostleship. Not all the people that say, "I'm an apostle," are apostles. But they claim to be apostles. But we receive grace. Why? For the obedience to the faith.
Yes.
Are you obedient to the faith? Are you walking in obedience? If you are, you have every right to walk under grace. But if you're not walking under obedience to the Word of God and to our Lord, I don't know that God... Now, God is... I can't say what God will do. God is a loving God. He is a merciful God. And many times... Well, if He wasn't, He'd never saved us, wouldn't He? Because we came to Him as sinners. And we were not right yet when He saved us. So many times... But you know, He's given us opportunity to clean up. Every one of us have had some opportunity to get rid of the junk that we picked up in our life. And you didn't always walk with the Lord. Not a one here. From the time you came of age... You rebelled, and you said, "I'll do it my way." And when you did, Satan moved in. What did Satan open the door to you? Sin. Just sin. You have any sin in your life? No, I don't sin. 1 John says, "He that says he has no sin is a liar. The truth's not in him." So we have open doors for the enemy to attack us, but we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to minister to us and through us, that we might be set free. Now, I don't know whether any of you will ever take up a deliverance ministry. I don't know about that, but you need to know this. You need to know about deliverance because you've already sit under it. And I hate to tell you, but you're branded. Satan's got your number. Not only has he got your number, he's got your name, and he's already assigned a demon to you to watch over you today. Why? Because you were in this ministry. You sat in deliverance. And he doesn't know at what point you're going to get hold of this message and start casting out devils.
Amen.
And when you do, you are the arch enemy of Satan.
Amen.
Now, Mildred said the other night, we've got a lady that says, "I hate Satan. I just hate Satan." Well, I hate him too, but that doesn't get him out. God has given us instruction. And we should learn the instruction. So let's go through some scripture this morning, this afternoon. We're not in the morning anymore. This afternoon. And look at some of the things that God is saying about deliverance. Look at Matthew 12. I'm sorry, Matthew 10. Chapter 1 in Matthew 10. And when he had called unto him 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Who did he give that to? He gave it to the church. But he wrote here, he said he gave it to the called the disciples. I got a disciple over here. Got any more disciples in here? You know what a disciple is? For those that have never looked at this, a disciple is a learner of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is one that has set his sights and his heart on learning about Jesus and serving him. And as we read these scriptures, they cover us because we are disciples. If we have set our heart on Jesus and are moving to serve and to honor him in our life. So there are numbers of things that that we need to know. He said, well, I'm not so sure about that. In Acts 10th chapter, let's go a little further in that. Acts 10, 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Amen. Now what God did for, how about Moses? Would he do it for you? Would he do the same for you that he did for Moses? How about Elijah?
Amen.
He's no respecter of persons, it said. This word does not lie. We have the ultimate truth of the world here in our hands, and this we can base our complete life and total life on, and know that we can stand on it, and it will bring only good.
Amen.
So, if he says that he's no respecter of persons, what he did for one person, he will do for another, and he will lift us up, and he will... Well, what did he do for Moses? Moses was 120 years old when he climbed that mountain over there, left the children of Israel behind, went by himself, walking steadily, not on crippled legs, at 120 years old. And it says that his natural strength was not abated, neither was his eyesight dimmed. And he went following the Lord. Why? Because he was obedient to God. And when we learn obedience, and not only the obedience, but the doing of the Word, and if we are all obedient, we will do the Word, won't we? Will we not do the Word if we are obedient? Then God will move in our behalf the same way. Very familiar scripture is Luke, the 10th chapter, and everybody knows where I'm going here. 19. He says, behold, I give unto you power. Ooh. Tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, what is he truly saying, and who is he saying it to? Well, if you'll back up to verse 1 of chapter 10, he said, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 more people. These were not the disciples. Other 70. And he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And as we minister unto the Lord and come and do spiritual warfare, Satan is knocked off of his high throne in the upper, the second heaven. There's three heavens. Has to be. If the Lord's in the third heaven, there's got to be a one and two, right? So Satan is there. That's his seat up there. And Jesus said, I saw him fall as lightning from heaven. He's cast down to the ground because somebody believed and did some warfare against him. And then Jesus said, I give you authority. He says, I give you exousia, authority. That's the right. You have a right to come against Satan. This is the word of God. It is a Greek word, and it means the right, the authority. And then he says, below there, over all of the ability, hallelujah, that second word, the power, that's over the ability, the power, the dunamis. Two different words, exousia, the authority, dunamis, the power. Strength. He gives you authority over Satan's strength. And he said, nothing's going to hurt you. There's nothing going to hurt you. I told somebody here this week, I saw a lady, man ministered to in a tent, very prim, neatly dressed Baptist lady, down in the front in a tent on a sawdust floor. And all of a sudden, she jumped up in the air and went out like a light and hit her head on the old wooden benches that were made out of 2x12s and fell in the floor. And people walked over for an hour and just stepped over. Every time they'd come across, they'd step over. Here's this Baptist lady laying here on the floor in the sawdust. She lost her dignity. Hallelujah. But you know, I saw that same man stand up in the pulpit and he said, "And I praise the Lord." And three people outside the tent fell. Wasn't even under the tent. And they went down under the power of God. Now, God moves in many different ways. I don't know how God will move in your life. But when we become obedient to God and begin to obey Him and walk with Him, you're going to see a change in how He answers you and how He ministers to you. So, if you want to follow along on this with another scripture, look at James in the 4th chapter. Looks like I'm going to have to get a new Bible. It's sticking together. Chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." First thing you do is submit to God. What does submit mean? Come in line with His Word and obey. I come under your Word and our obedience to your Word.
Good.
And then He turns around and He says, "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you." You believe that?
Yes.
You say, "I tried that. It didn't work." I can tell you why. You tried it. You didn't believe it. Everything in this book works in the same way you received your salvation. How did you get salvation? Did you see salvation come down on you? And the glory of God just moved from the heavens in a visual thing and came and covered you and entered into you? No, you didn't see any of that. And I dare say you didn't feel much. You shouldn't have felt much, I don't think. Because the Lord, walking with the Lord, is not a feeling. And if we're going to trust in feelings, we're going to be led astray every time. The enemy will give you all kinds of feelings. But if we trust in the Word of the Lord, that He says, "I'm going to do it," then if we will obey that and do it the way He said to do it, you'll see it work.
Amen.
Not doubting. Not doubting. Walking in what the Word of the Lord has said. You agree with me?
Amen.
Somebody smile. Come on, don't get down on me. You know, deliverance is fun. Oh, they've been singing my song around here. I have been hearing them. They've been singing my song. The screams are coming forth. That's my song. When they holler, "Don't make me go. Don't make me go. Don't make me go." Oh, I'm having a time. And I know God is enjoying it also. Let's do a word study. Go to Mark 16. That very familiar scripture that everybody that's in deliverance knows and quotes. But I'm going to read back up and start at 14. "After he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief." Jesus came against the disciples because they didn't believe. Because they would not believe that he had risen, and there was those that were seeing him and had reported to them that they had been seen. Do you see Jesus? Do you see Jesus? Is Jesus alive today? Do you know that? How do you know it? How do you know it? By the evidence that He presents in our lives. We don't see Him visually with this eye here, but spiritually I see Him, and He is so lovely. He is so lovely. So He upbraided them with the unbelief and the hardness of the heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. And He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world." Good commission. Go to all the world. Go to all parts of the world. And where we can't go, we're sending tapes to.
Amen.
We're getting the Word out. And the Spirit of the Lord is moving out. I have a Mildred's nephew. It's not my nephew. It's Mildred's sister's boy that is a Bible translator in Indonesia. And he's been out there over 20 years and raised a family. And he's translated several books of the Bible to just a handful of natives that don't know how to read. They don't have an alphabet. They knew absolutely nothing. Never heard of Jesus. Never heard of God. Only their false gods. And he's ministered to those people for the last 20 years. Now the Word is going out. So I see people at work that are ministering this word, and I know my God is pleased and that the angels in heaven are having a field day up there when this goes forth. And when we call on Jesus, when we call on the name of Jesus, man, heaven stands at attention. They come up right now because we have called upon the Son of God. So therefore, when we use that name has authority, but it has all of the power of Jesus Christ in it. It is the likeness of Jesus. So we have authority to use it. So praise God. Let's start remembering this and using this. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17 is very familiar. He said, "He and these signs shall follow them that believe." He didn't say these signs are going before you. They're not going to run ahead of you. You're not going to come in here and minister. I'm not going to minister here and do great wonders and signs. He said, they're going to follow me. Why? Because I'm a believer. They shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up the serpent, and if they've drunk any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I would admonish you to take your Bible, get you a colored pencil, and every time you see casting out demons, that you'd mark it. And every time you see healing, you'd mark it. Because many healings were accomplished by the casting out of the demon. Many of them. Many of them. I wouldn't say all healing. All healing was because the demon was cast out. But many, many, many. And if you don't believe that, well, Acts 10:38. How Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Sickness is an oppression of the devil here. And he healed them. Jesus, man, he, you know, Jesus never got into the healing ministry and he said, well, I've just spent my time now. The rest of y'all are just going to have to come back tomorrow. We can't do it today. We don't have time to do it today. Well, you've got such a heavy load on you, so we can't minister to you today. No, he cast them all out. Now, that's good. I'm not Jesus, though. I don't walk in the anointing of my Lord and Savior. But I do walk in believing the Word of God, and He has told me that we can cast out devils. I just got through reading it to you. And you, I gave you this so that you would know that as a disciple, aren't you a learner?
Yes.
That comes over you also, that you too have this right. I said I didn't know whether any of you would ever get into deliverance ministry. But you can do spiritual warfare every day. You can bind and loose. You can pray. I told Mildred today, everybody saw my coat, now I'm going to take it off. And you can minister to God's people by the word of the Lord and using the word of the Lord. And you will walk in this place. Now, in that scripture that I just read, we're going to do some word looking at. And these signs, what signs? Wonders. Shall follow them to what?
Believe.
What word is that? Anybody know? The word believe in the concordance, Strong's Concordance, is the most popular word used for believe. It is pistio, Greek word pistio. It means to commit and put in trust. We put in trust. We trust God. We trust God. And we are believers, so therefore we trust God. And I don't have to worry about what the devil's doing. I trust God. And God's already made the provision for my life. Didn't he say in Matthew in the 6th chapter, 33? Oh, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he had named up above there the food, the clothing, the housing, all the necessities of life, and God was going to take care of every need you had when you sought the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And we don't have any righteousness. So, I want Jesus' righteousness on me. And when he looks at me, I want him, when the Father looks at me, I want him to look at me through the blood. And that will filter my life as he looks at me through the blood of Jesus, that he will accept me in the Beloved because I have obeyed the Word of God. And this is God's plan for us. And if we allow the enemy to keep on chipping here a little and there a little, getting a hold of us, God talked about witchcraft and all of that today in Ezekiel in the 13th chapter. And when we give ourselves over to the enemy, somebody asked some questions and they said they got healed by acupuncture. Okay, we took care of that. But if we trust in the enemy to do our healing, if you are an unbeliever, you can get healed. You know that? He'll take cancer out of you. Of course, he'll give you a brain tumor. That's what he'll do. He doesn't always just take something out by itself. He leaves you something. He always leaves you something if you trust in the devil. So, we do not ever want to put our faith and our trust in the occult or the things of Satan, but we want to trust in the Lord. What do you say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. So I'm trusting in the Lord to direct my path. And I see here that this word believe comes from authority and ability, is the next one. They shall take up serpents. Let's see where they want to go. I know where it is. This word, believe, is 4100, pistio, and it means to commit and put in trust. Look at Matthew 8:13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in that same hour. I believe he put his trust in there, didn't he? Here was a heathen, but he loved the Jewish people, and he built him a synagogue. And he came and said, heal my servant. Heal my servant. And when Jesus said, I'll come and heal him, he said, oh, no. I am a man under authority. I know about authority. Man, this fellow knew authority. He was a centurion. He commanded, how many, 100? Was that what it was? A centurion commanded 100? 100 men. He says, I know all about authority. All I want you to do is speak the word. If you'll just speak the word only, my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, ooh, I haven't even seen that kind of faith in Israel. And here you are, a Roman. And we need to start activating some real strong faith to see God move and believe that He's going to do it. Look at Hebrews 10:30. For we know that him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Have you really considered what we are doing in our life and how the Lord is looking at every situation that we're doing?
Yes.
So, God is watching over us, and His desire is that we come into the fold and be that strong hole that will pull the rest of the people in. You see, we're getting ready for this end time, and we've got to prepare the people. We've got to bring the people in. We need to clean up their lives. You clean up your life, then we can clean up somebody else's life once we get it clean. So, we need to watch and see exactly what we are doing in our own life. Now, this word pistio comes from another word that means assurance, faith, fidelity. You know what fidelity is, don't you? First Fidelity Bank. That's a place you can put your trust in. Oh, they're trustworthy because they're the First Fidelity Bank. And they take that name from the Lord. So this the believe, and if you want to look it up, is the first one. Pistio is 4100 in Strong's in the New Testament, and this one is 4102. And it does mean faith, and if you'll look at Matthew 8:8, we'll see about what faith looks like. And the centurion answered and said to the Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only. I already spoke that, hadn't I? And the servant shall be healed. Well, that's all right. It's worth hearing again.
Amen.
And this man believed because he understood authority, and when he did, he said, you just speak it. You just speak it and he'll be healed. That's all you need to do. I know you. I know you walk in authority. Do you know Jesus walks in authority today?
Yeah.
We don't walk like that. You know why? There's an enemy that condemns us because of the wrong in our life that will not let us believe. Oh, I don't do wrong. I don't sin. What did I say? First John, he that says he has no sin is a liar and the truth's not in him. We don't possibly set out our lives to commit sin. Some of us do. But then those that try to serve God, we don't do it. But we always get in trouble because everything that is not of faith is sin. So how can you walk without? You don't believe in everything that the Lord spoke here. So we have that one that means assurance, fidelity, and faith. And that comes from another word. Man, we're just getting on down the line, aren't we?
Yes.
And it's number 3982 in Strong's Concordance, and it is Pytho. And Acts 17:4 uses that word. And it's used several times. It means confidence, agree, assure, obey, trust, and yield. You hear what I said? What was that key word in there? Obey.
Obey.
We didn't realize that to believe meant to obey. We've never gotten a hold of this. But the base word that faith and believing comes from means obey. It has that connotation within it. It's a Greek word. Most prolific language ever devised. That's why God used it to write this word. Because he had a word for it. Have you ever heard of anybody say, well, the Greeks had a word for it? Well, they did. They had a word for it. When I say love, what else can I say? What other word can I substitute that would constitute my meaning for love? But the Greek had three words, I think, for it. Phileo, agape, and then there was one, I think, that was an erratic. It wasn't really love, but it was an erratic type love. So they had a word for everything. And this is important. And it should be important to you because this is the base word that this comes from, and it has a direct bearing on your life and mine because he meant for us to obey when we believed God, we were to obey God. Just that simple. And as we obeyed God, we began to clean our lives up. We would walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. How many churches are walking by the Spirit today? Anybody know a Spirit-filled church that are walking by the Spirit? Isn't that a shame? Does anybody know one? Possibly there's some. I'm sure there are. I mean, but we don't know them. We don't know them here. And this is what God called for his house to be. That we were to walk in the Spirit and we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But yet we kind of disagree with God, kind of rebel with God, and we do our own thing. And when we do, guess what happens? Satan says, enter him, go, get him, he's yours. And not only one spirit, we run into a door opener. And he'll just open the door, every time you sin, he'll bring another one in, he'll bring another one in, bring another one. Now that doesn't mean that every time a demon comes in, you're going to react, that demon's going to take control, and you're going to do all kinds of things, what that demon says. And demons will lay dormant for years in a person before they gain strength enough to become the strong spirit within a person and take over. And what we call the strong man in the Bible. And they will eventually take over. For instance, if I said unto you, I call out a homosexual spirit, does that mean that if you cough that you're homosexual? No. That just means a homosexual spirit has attached itself to you and he's sitting there waiting till he gains enough strength from the stuff he brings in to entice you into that type of a relationship. So there's many things that we need to know about this business of deliverance that we need to clean ourselves up and not allow the enemy room and time to get a hold of us. Did I finish that one? Let's see. Let's look at Hebrews 13:17. I think Doc crossed this one. He didn't get on what I'm talking about here, but I think he used this. I'm not sure, but I believe he did. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, or that is unprofitable for you. That could speak of your pastor. That could speak of your mate. And we need to learn to obey the Word. And this is what he really wants us to do, is to obey the Word. And when we obey the Word, then all of this other comes in line. So, my God can do anything. Did you realize that? That he could do anything. Okay, let's look at some other things about deliverance in Matthew 8. Again, back in 8. Verse 16 says, and when they were evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out their spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. We went to a meeting one time. It was in Arkansas, too, years ago. And that guy said he was casting out spirits, and he was blowing a trumpet in their ear. So he's casting out the devil by blowing a trumpet in your ear. I read in the paper, oh, it's been probably close to a year ago now, where in New York, I believe, it was either New York or New Jersey, where they had killed a man because they tried to beat the demon out of him in a church. He manifested, and so they just said the only way to get him out is beat him, and they started beating on his stomach. And they killed the man. And that's ignorance. I mean, we have God's Word, and we should be knowledgeable of what God wants and expects from us. So, don't worry, I'm not going to beat on you. But we'll call them. We'll call them by name, and we'll call them out. So, are you getting prepared right now? This time that we're doing right here is for you to prepare for deliverance. We're talking it. We're trying to stir up demons. I'm telling you how good my God is and how strong He is, and He's already overcome the demons. And they've got to go. They've got to go. And this is what we're doing. We're preparing to get set free right now. So, open yourself up to the Lord and to the Word of the Lord and say, Father, I'll not receive anything from Satan, and I want everything that's in me cast out. We don't give a whole lot of information when we start deliverance, and I'm not through yet, but I want to do this now because we seldom do. Your part is to sit there, uncross your legs, put your hands down on your knees, and every demon that I call, you will not say a word, but within your being, fight that thing in the name of Jesus. If you're in there, you've got to go. You cannot stay in my body. And you don't open your mouth. You don't say, precious Jesus, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Because you fight, and the demons won't come across that usually. And you just sit there, and you fight them spiritually within yourself. And don't you think they don't know you're fighting. So this is your part. And as we begin to minister deliverance, today or any time that you sit in deliverance, this is your part, the thing that you should do. Now, when you go home, I want you to bind the enemy. I want you to bind everything. I want you to ask God to show you what you need to bind. And in the name of Jesus, this is how you bind. In the name of Jesus, I bind witchcraft, homosexuality, nicotine, whatever. Whatever the demon is, I bind in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll repent from having received you into my body. I cast you out of my body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'd be surprised how much deliverance you'll get when you get away from this place and you're on your own. You see, you won't have a deliverance worker when you get home every time. And if we don't learn how to stand, wouldn't I say the enemy's got your number? He's already got your number because you came into a deliverance camp. He doesn't know when you're going to fight him. He doesn't know when you're going to move in deliverance. So therefore, he's going to do his best to harass you. Brother back there is talking about how he in a new home, moved in a new home, and all the noises that they had in there, they'd bang around in there and beat on the door and shut doors and clang on cabinets and all this and that. You ought to live in my house, son. I got TVs that go on and off. I got doors that open and shut. There's nobody in the house but me and her, and she and I are in bed, and somebody's walking upstairs. And they continually try to harass us, and we get so tired of it, we just say, I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus. You will not harass me any longer in Jesus' name. Now go on, and I'll go to sleep. And we just take authority over them like that. But they continually come against us. And then, beyond that, we have to fight a real spiritual battle. They hit our bodies, and I'll not tell you what they're doing, but we fight them. In fact, I've had some victory today. I've had victory today, come to think of it. Not some, I've had victory today. Anybody had any victory today? I had victory. I came down here this morning and I had a problem. And I couldn't sit over there. I finally had to get up and stand in the back. Praise God, it's gone. My God is good. You better believe deliverance worked. I don't care what comes against this woman here and myself. Whatever it is, we do deliverance. If it's sickness, we bind it, cast it out, and it works. And it'll work for you. I know it'll work for you because it works for me. It works for her. Works for them, too, doesn't it? Works for Irma. Yeah, I know it worked for Irma. And we are letting the enemy walk all over us for one reason or another when we have all the power of heaven and in earth at our disposal. Do you realize that? He has no right to you. If you're a child of God, if you're walking in the Word, if you're obedient, if you're obeying God, then the enemy has no right. And we need to start testing him out and doing spiritual warfare on him. We do it every day in my house. We do spiritual warfare every day. There's not a day goes by that we don't do it. And when I go to work in the morning, my wife stands in the door and prays for me as I go down the highway. I got 20 miles to drive in some of the most horrendous traffic you've ever seen in your life. And she prays over me and keeps me safe. And then when I get in the plant, I've got everything under the sun because my people are from the Far East. I have Vietnamese. I don't think I have any Chinese. I have quite a few Vietnamese, Cambodians. I have a lot of Mexican and a few black, from local black. And every one of them is unsaved. And of course, those Vietnamese all worship Buddha. And if you think I don't have a time in that plant. So we're taking back what the enemy took from us.
Yes.
We're continually taking it back. God is good. God is good all the time. We learn this in a bunch of blacks in the mission. When we say God is good, they'd say all the time. And that's true. God is good all of the time. And it's not a cliche. It is a truth of the Word of God. God is always good. He's a good God. I tell people, God is a good God and the devil is a bad devil. Now, you can tell the difference. You know which is which. And you love the Lord and you fight the devil because we don't want that bad devil in our life. Jesus went about casting demons out with His Word. How are you going to cast them out? You can't blow them out with a trumpet. You can't stick your finger in the ear and pull them out, or their mouth and pull them out. You can't beat them out. The Word of God is what drives demons out. And they know if you believe what you're saying. You can't fool a demon. And they know the Word of God better than you do. They use it. They curse you. And they use the Word of God to do it. Oh, that's horrible, isn't it? But you see, that's the enemy. That's the way he does it. But that's all right. My God's greater than any enemy. Amen. And do you know that every one of those things are in subjection to my God?
Amen.
Hadn't thought about that, had you? Principalities and powers are in subjection. It's over in 1 Peter, I believe. I'm not turning to it, but it's in 1 Peter that all the principalities and powers are in subjection to God. They have to obey God.
Amen.
And when Jesus comes up with that sharp two-edged sword, and that time's getting close, hallelujah, the time is getting close, and he is going to swing that sword, and we'll be set free. Now, we've got a lot of cleaning up to do. I've heard this before more than once since we've been here. Our job should be right now cleaning up the land, all that the enemy has done and polluted in the land today. And then when Jesus comes, we will still continue to clean up the land. Well, if I just crawl in under the tent cover, get in heaven, that's all I want. Not me. Not me. I want to be right in the center of where Jesus is, at an overcomer, walking where He is walking, doing what He is doing, and looking down at those that just could not bear to make it, because they're back there. You don't believe that? The tabernacle had three areas, didn't it? That's a picture. The outer court. Well, those people came to the Lord, but they didn't do anything. The inner court. Well, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and boy, did they have a time. And for a year, and sometimes two, man, we just moved and praised God and had the biggest time of our life. But, you know, then it got kind of old, and I kind of quit going to the meetings, and it wasn't so thrilling anymore. So I just kind of left off going to church and to the meeting. That's in the inner court, too. But then there's the Holy of Holies, and this is that one that will not submit, that was going with the hundredfold of God and will accept nothing left. I'm giving all that I am to God. I will walk with Him in everything that I have, and the devil will not have any part of me. Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And I don't want to be a man. I want to be a son of God, that I'll not care for the things of the world and the things of this earth. But I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So this is where God wants us to move and where He wants us to go. Matthew 16. In verse 19 it says, "I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And I believe that this is the key to the kingdom of God, is the binding and loosening, because you will never make it into the kingdom of God if you don't clean up. And you will never clean up if you don't bind Satan's power and the demon's power. Satan's not bothering you and me. Understand. He's one. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. He can only be at one place at one time. But, oh my goodness, he has got such a network of communication that the familiar spirits and all of the demons are listening in on everything you say. Satan don't know what you're going to do till you open your mouth. You know that? He can't read your mind. Satan cannot read your mind. Only when you open your mouth and you start telling what you're going to do. We won't even talk from Saturday morning until Sunday morning about what we're going to preach about my church, because we don't want Satan to know what's going on. I have people come and tell, "This is the hardest church to come to I ever saw in my life." I've had it over and over again that people told us that. Why? Because Satan throws everything in his power before you to hinder you from going in and learning of his devices. He's a deceiving enemy. And he don't want you to know what he's doing. And we're uncovering, as Jesus came to uncover the works of the devil, we are uncovering the works of the devil. So, Satan doesn't want us to do this. That word bind means to knit, to wrap, to be in bonds of chains. Let me give you something back here, because we have misunderstood this so much of the time. Maybe you don't. I've had so many people that did. Where is it, Lord? The angels. The angels under spirits of darkness. Somebody help me. It's in Jude and it's in John. In Peter. Jude what? Okay, Jude 6. "The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day." I've had people come to me and say, "Well, all the fallen angels are under chains, they can't bother you." He kept them in chains. What kind of chains did he put them in? Under chains of darkness. What does he mean by, what is darkness? Darkness is ignorance, lack of light, not knowing, not understanding, and they will never understand. They don't understand you and your salvation. They don't know the first thing about salvation, and they cannot know. They're under darkness. The fallen angels and every demon, I don't know the difference. God does not tell you the difference between a fallen angel and a demon, or if there's a difference. I don't know. So I'll not get into it. But they are fallen angels, and I've run into them. Do you believe we're in the last times?
Yes.
We have just recently run into some spirits that we have or know are from the revelations from that pit that's been opened, where that angel came down with that chain and the key to the bottomless pit and opened it. And he talks about how they have stingers in their tails and all of this. Well, we've run into some of those demons just recently. And God will show you if you're sincere in walking with the Lord and doing the Lord's work. We run into so much. I could sit here the rest of the night probably, like Glenn. We've seen everything. We've done everything in the last 18 years in deliverance. That's right. We still don't believe. That's right. That's right. We don't know enough, and we don't believe. There's those that don't believe what they've already seen. We had a girl in when we had prayer meeting in the house, and we weren't in deliverance, manifested in the prayer meeting, and her eyes turned green, and they went up and down with a little spot in the middle, like this way, up and down. And she clawed the floor. We had to cast that cat spirit. And that was one of the first that we ever saw, wasn't it? It was very early. Had a young man that was in the Navy. He came to the prayer meeting, and then he came to the church, and we started pastoring the church. And he was loaded. We had a little metal, round metal garbage can. His fancy was to take that garbage can and make it square on the top. And then turn around and make it round again. And he did this every time we managed to deliver to him. He'd take that with his hands, and he'd bend that garbage can and make it square. And then he'd turn around and make it round again. We were sitting there one night, and there was two young men came in to the front door of the church from Oxford, Mississippi. Some of you know about Oxford. That's Ole Miss territory, the University of Mississippi. And they were, I think they were students. And they had planned to come up and check us out and show us how wrong we were. And they were going to bring a guy with them who was loaded with demons, but he couldn't come, so they stopped and picked up a black man on the street who was drunk. And when he got to the church, when he started in, he balked and backed up and said, "Not me, I'm not going in." I said, "Them white people, I'm not going in that church. I'm not going." I said, "Brother, come in here, come in here. We don't mind what color you are. It has nothing to do with it. We come in." So we got him in, and we ministered, we preached, and so on and so on. And at the end, we started ministering to him. "You never saw a fellow sober up so much in all your life." That fellow came cold sober when we started casting demons out of him. Had a young girl, a black girl, sitting in the back that cursed everybody and everything in the church with false tongues. Till I got up, and I did not hear it when it started because I was working on somebody on the front row, and she was on the back row, which was about as far as from here to that back door back there. And I didn't hear it, but when I did, I got up and I started binding the tongues and broke it off. But she cursed everything in the church. "You know, you really mean that demons can curse you? You better learn that demons can curse you. They have power, but my God has more power. And I'm not trying to frighten you or get you to back away from it, because you have all power and authority at your beck and call." So the binding is the knitting, the wrapping, and bonds, and then chains. And Psalms 148:9 says, "We'll bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, for this is the heritage of God's people, to bind the kings with chains." Come on.
He started this, so I'm going to finish it. He's talking about the guys from Oxford, Mississippi. College students, and they were college students. They were trying to prove that the living wasn't real. I was ministering to one of them. And talking about the garbage cans, we use garbage cans for everyone. We buy little small ones. He got his head, one of the guys manifested, one of those boys did, and he stuck his head in that garbage can and he scooted it all the way across the floor.
In through the chairs and under the chairs.
Right. We got the spirit out of him. It was a spirit that came in from drugs. And when he came back to himself, you know, we got him back, and he said, as we got down, he said, "Man, I'm coming back and get some more deliverance." But you know what? When he left, we really believe they never did come back. But what we believe happened was the other guys talked him out and said, that was just you, and that didn't really happen. But it was funny. He growled like an animal, and he pushed, I kid you not, that garbage can all over our church.
With his head. Now, she didn't tell you all of it, and when she said that, I remembered it all. I was ministering on the front door, and I had this black man, and they got on either side of him, and you know who manifested? Those two college students. I had two of them down there manifested, and then the black man manifested. I had all three of them manifested, and this guy goes down on the floor, and our chairs are like this chair here, only they're not as nice as that, but they're stack chairs, and you can get under there, and he was going around through the rows, weaving as a snake through the rows of the church going to the back. No, now I should have told you first. If you don't believe in deliverance, you're in the wrong place. I should have told you this first. If you mock deliverance, you're open, wide open to everything that comes out. And not only everything that comes out, but everything that's come in this place. And they'll attack you if you're mocking deliverance. And I'm not kidding you. You better be very serious about this business. Because we have seen God move mightily this camp meeting. And it started yesterday morning. And all day yesterday. Had a good meeting this morning. Praise the Lord. And I understand I wasn't down here, but I understand there was some good meeting before the preaching. But we had good preaching this morning.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. So, don't make fun of deliverance and what people are doing. Because you'll pick up demons. You will absolutely pick them up. Hebrews 1:14, I want to cover this. And I'm about through. 13 says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies my footstool? He didn't tell an angel to sit on his right hand. Who did he tell to sit on his right hand? Jesus sat on his right hand. But he's talking about angels, and he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Why did he say it that way? Shall be heirs of salvation. If you died today and you're saved, you have not received all that God has for you, but you received Jesus Christ. You're saved and going to heaven. But before you die, if you decide you don't really like this too much and you backslide and walk away, you're not going to be an heir. Because the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And that's Scripture. So, remember it. And trust the angels. Call on the angels. Now, angels are not going to do your deliverance for you. That's not what I meant. Had one row in this place. One aisle. Right back to the very back. On the last row back there, we were ministering deliverance, and I was walking around calling off demons. That's a young man back there that somebody, I don't know who it was, they were ministering to, and he was coughing a little bit and sneezing a little bit, yawning a little bit. And the Lord spoke to me and told me what he had. And I just walked in around, and I went around behind him. And it was a chair sitting by itself. It wasn't a row. It was a chair sitting by itself. And I leaned over that boy on this side and got in his ear, and I said, in the name of Jesus, you spirit of, and I called him by name, and I said, come out of him. And he jerked up. He hit this young man under me. He knocked me up in the air. I almost hit that ceiling back there. I landed on my shoulder and head, and he headed for that door. And I was screaming, put him on the floor, put him on the floor, don't let him out, don't let him out. And it took about six people to get that young man down on the floor. And he was a young man, he was under 20 years old, I dare say. So everybody was down there holding on to him, and the crowd got around to see what was going on. And I said, I back off in the name of Jesus. And I laid one finger on him. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll quit your thrashing, you'll quit your violence, you will come out of him in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you know, I said, turn him loose. And they turned that boy loose, and he didn't move a muscle. Now, I didn't do anything. I just was obedient to God. I don't claim, miraculous power. But I obeyed God. And God honored it, and he bound that thing. And I've seen that happen more and more times. I could tell you in a number of times, but once is enough. It works. It happened. It did happen. So praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 7th chapter. We've done this over here before. Verse 1 says, And when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and thou hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make any marriages with them. Thy daughters shall not give thy daughters thou shalt not give unto thy sons, nor thy daughters, for they shall take unto for they shall take unto their sons. Now, those names, all those shites. You want them? You want to know what we're talking about? All right, I'm going to list names, and they'll go down, and you don't write the name of the tribe. Just write the name of what I call, and they'll line up with everything in 7-1. Fear, compromise, pride, lust, strife, deception, depression. Seven nations greater and stronger than you are. But they're not stronger than my God. You see, we have at our disposal all of God's power. A couple more scriptures and then we'll do some deliverance. Exodus 23. I think this is when it's important, so I'm going to do it. 28 says, And I will send the hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee, and I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. You hear what I said? I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. And we want deliverance superstore style. We want to come in and say, I want to take this and this and this. I don't want that. But I want to get set free from this one, and this one. And he says, I won't do it in a year. Well, what are we doing all this for? Because we're learning to be obedient to our God. And if we can't be obedient to God, we don't need to be set free. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. And if you just receive deliverance, you haven't got a thing to stand on. If this is your first time to walk in deliverance, you do not have any backup at all to stand on to keep free. To keep those things off of you. And that's why what that scripture is in there for. By little and little, I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hands, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Who's going to drive them out? Who's going to drive out demons? Thou. That thou, all of them right here. We are the ones who's going to drive out. Angels don't drive out demons. Angels will watch over. Angels are messengers primarily. And he talks about Gabriel, who is your messenger, your angel for Israel, who was a battling angel. I believe he was a warrior angel. But we have a captain of the host, who is an angel, and there are warriors angels. There are warriors, and we call on warrior angels to stand guard. And I place protection around myself. I've had demons scream out at my wife over there, I don't know how many times. I'll knock your head off. If it wasn't for them blankety-blank angels around you, I'd kill you tonight. Do you trust what demons are saying? Well, if you'd seen the things that have happened to her, I've seen her nose broke, black eye, shins skinned, and we got one that knows how to do this. Man, she knows how to elbow. And you sit beside her and she'll put that elbow in your side, and it'll take 2 to 3 days for my wife to get over some of the deliverance that we get involved in. We're to do it. We can trust the angels. We use them to hold them now. We use the angels to hold a person many, many times, much of the time. All right, there's another scripture. Now, you can read this for yourself. I'm not going to read it because we're running out of time. Matthew 12, 43 through 45, and I'll tell you what it says. It says, when you've had deliverance, fill up. Don't walk away from here and go back into the things that you have been doing. Do not just go home and go to bed. Get in the Word of God. Before you go to bed at night, get in the Word of God and fill up that portion where you have been set free from some stuff. Amen? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I just praise you and I thank you for your mighty love. Minister to your people now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come right now and we say, we love you, Lord, and we desire to serve you. Right now, if there's any unforgiveness in your life, remove it right now by forgiving. I don't care who it is, they're alive or dead. It makes no difference. But if you hold unforgiveness, even to a person that has gone on to be with the Lord or did not go to be with the Lord, if you hold unforgiveness, you're not going to get into deliverance. My God says He won't even recognize you if you do not forgive. So in the name of Jesus, I loose forgiveness. And I ask every person here to forgive any person in the name of Jesus who's ever harmed them in any manner, in Jesus' name, set them free. I bind principalities, powers, rulers, kings, thrones, dominions, authorities, spiritual wickedness in high places, darkness in the heavens, rulers that control the spirits in the earth. I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Rulers that control the spirits over this camp right now. In Jesus' name, I bind you. I command you to loose this people. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out of them. Come out of them now. In the name of Jesus. Call all occult practices. Your occult practices. In the name of Jesus. Loose this people. Come out. Come out. All the occult practices. Occult practices are trusting in Satan or the sources of the world for things that you should trust God for. And we get involved in a lot of those things. And we don't think that they're wrong because they're just simply things of the world. God don't have any part of the flesh. He won't have any part of it. So I call the occult practices out. In the name of Jesus, I bind all witchcraft. Witchcraft in the name of Jesus. All the witchcraft curses. Curses that have been loosed on you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I bind you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I bind the magic. All the magic. The true magic in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a sleight of hand. True magic. In the name of Jesus, I bind you in Jesus' name. I bind that Ouija board, that occult practice of using a Ouija board to get knowledge in the name of Jesus. I bind those King of Pride, Leviathan, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind your strength and power. In the name of Jesus, I bind all the fiery darts that come against you from the enemy. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind fiery darts and I cast them out in Jesus' name. I bind cursing and cast it out. I cast out the lust of uncleanliness in Jesus' name. I cast out corruption. In the name of the Lord Jesus, take a deep breath now. Work with me. Blow it out. Blow it out in the name of Jesus. You want deliverance? You want to be set free? Blow it out. Blow it out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Corruption in the name of Jesus. Spirits of vanity, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I cast you out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Cast out a spirit of palmistry, handwriting analysis, automatic handwriting, ESP, hypnosis. I cast out horoscope. I cast out astrology. Anybody ever read the horoscope? Anybody here ever read a horoscope? Got a hand? Anybody got a hand up? Read a horoscope? You ever get deliverance from it? Okay. Praise the Lord. You said, I did it. I did it in fun. You did, but the devil didn't mean fun. He put a demon in there. In the name of Jesus, horoscope, astrology, divination. Come out in Jesus' name. False doctrine. In the name of Jesus, I cast out that seducing spirit. That seducing spirit that comes against God's people, that seduces them with that sly, seducing way that he comes into our line, that lies and creeps in unawares in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out, seducing spirit. In the name of Jesus, I cast out dishonesty. Dishonesty. I cast out false doctrine. False doctrine. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Proudness. I cast out proudness. I cast out pornography. Pornography. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All the pornography. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. Spirits of pornography. You've got to go. You've got to go in the name of Jesus. Jesus. All perverse spirits. perverse spirits, in the name of Jesus, lust spirits, sexual lust spirits, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I cast out sexual lust in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, unforgiveness in Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I cast out that yoke of bondage. That yoke of bondage that's on your back, in the name of Jesus, that demon that sits on your back and has a bit in your mouth that turns you wherever he wants you to go, that bondage, in the name of Jesus, I cast it out, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I cast out those serpents and scorpions, in the name of Jesus, all that's emptied out of that bottomless pit in the latter days, I cast those spirits out of it, come out of the bottomless pit, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I cast out blindness of eyes. I cast out spiritual blindness in the name of Jesus. Jesus, let him go. Spiritual blindness, retaliation. I cast out that spirit of retaliation. Come out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Spirit of striving, come on out, move, in Jesus' name. I cast out a spirit of poverty, you got to go. You have no place in God's people. Spirit of poverty. God said, I wish above all that you be in health and prosper even as your soul prosper. I think he included monetary things. I know that he included my soul to prosper in the things of the Spirit. But I think he included monetary things. And I cast out poverty. I cast out spiritual poverty. Spiritual poverty. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Afflictions. In the name of the Lord Jesus. All the afflictions. Afflictions and trouble. Trouble. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on out. Move. In Jesus' name. Trouble. Confusion. All the confusion. Confusion. You got to go. Come on out. Move. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes confusion. Cast out fear. Fear and terror. Come out in Jesus' name. Hate. Spirit of hate. Go in Jesus' name. Murder. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I break your hold. In the name of Jesus, and I cast you out of this people. In Jesus' name. Spirit of murder, in Jesus' name. Cast out diseases and distress. Distress. I cast down and cast out dominion. I cast a broken-hearted spirit out. A broken-hearted spirit. I come against that broken-hearted spirit in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I loose the balm of Gilead on that broken-hearted spirit. And I command that broken heart to go. Go in the name of Jesus. Jesus, broken-hearted spirit. Broken-hearted spirit. Dismay. You can't stay. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Heaviness. Come out. Move. In Jesus' name. All the heaviness. All the mourning. Mourning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Spirits of mourning. In the name of Jesus. Infirmities. Spirit of infirmities. In the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Come out. Infirmities. Sicknesses. All types of sickness. Sickness. I cast out blindness. Blindness in the name of Jesus. Spiritual blindness. All the spiritual blindness. All physical blindness in the name of Jesus. Eye problems, all the eye problems. The enemy has come against our eyes and caused us to wear glasses. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I cast out those demons that have caused us to put on glasses. In the name of the Lord Jesus, all the blindness in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Scare out a spirit of deafness. Go in Jesus' name. Deafness. Come on out. Deafness. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, all the deafness, migraine headaches, in the name of Jesus, mental illness, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I cast out mental illness, madness, in Jesus' name, mania, in the name of Jesus, I come against mania, I cast it down, I bind its power. Cast out a spirit of retardation, a retarded spirit, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, retarded spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus, retarded spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Senility. Senility. I cast out senility in the name of the Lord Jesus. Schizophrenia. Schizophrenia. I come against that spirit of schizophrenia. I bind your strength and power in the name of the Lord Jesus. I cut off your aid from the heavens in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I cast down that schizophrenia and I cast it out. Cast it out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Paranoia. Paranoia. Come out. Come out. Hallucinations. Hallucinations. Come against heart failure. Heart failure and stroke. Heart failure and stroke. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Heart blockage. Heart blockage. In the name of Jesus. I come against cancer. Spirit of cancer. I curse cancer. I curse cancer and I cast it out. In Jesus' name. I take authority over the spirit of cancer. I command you to swivel up and dry up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dry up and leave in Jesus' name. High blood pressure. High blood pressure in the name of Jesus. Go, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Low blood pressure. Low blood pressure in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Diabetes. All right. Diabetes in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out. Come out. Spirit of diabetes. Come out. Come out. Tumors. All tumors. All types of tumors. Tumors. Cancerous tumors. Brain tumors. Lung tumors. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Lung tumors. Colon tumors. In the name of Jesus. All types of tumors. Tumors. Come out. Come out. Come out. Spirit of leukemia. I take authority over a spirit of leukemia and I bind its power. I break it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I command you to loose the people and never bear fruit in their life in the name of Jesus. Leukemia. Leukemia, you go. Go in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Blood cancer. You can't stay. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, my Lord, that you will obey. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And you are in subjection unto him. Leukemia is in subjection unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You will go. You will go in the name of Jesus. Kidney failure. Kidney failure. Kidney disease. Kidney failure and kidney disease. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Arthritis. Arthritis. All swelling. All swelling. I come against tumors again. Tumors. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All swelling and all tumors. Come out. Come out. Come out. I come against AIDS. I come against that spirit of AIDS. I curse that spirit of AIDS in the name of Jesus and I render it powerless in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and I command it to loose God's people and go in the name of Jesus. Jesus. AIDS. AIDS. Kidney stones. Kidney stones. Come out. Gallstones. Gallstones. Come out. Come out. Stroke. Stroke. Heart attack. Heart attack, blindness and deafness, heartache, spirit of heartache, backache, spirit of lameness, lameness. I loose life to lameness in the name of Jesus. I loose the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.